appreciate that special. It's such a blessing. Let's open our Bibles together this morning to Psalm chapter 92. Psalm chapter 92. If I was to give a title to the message, it would be a message of thanksgiving. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving in our country this past Thursday. And for a lot of believers, I've heard a lot of believers say over the years that it's their favorite holiday of the year. That would be true for myself. Thanksgiving is definitely the favorite holiday of the ones that we celebrate. And we celebrate several good ones. But let's read here in Psalm chapter 92. Beginning in verse number 1, we'll read down through verse number 5. Scripture says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." There's a message in every sentence in these first 5 verses that I've read here this morning, but I want us to spend our time looking at verses number 1 and number 2. You know, I mentioned we just celebrated Thanksgiving, but for the believer, every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving for us. We should continually thank our God for His unspeakable gift. Is there ever a day that it's not appropriate, believer, for us to thank God for His unspeakable gift? That is the gift of His dear Son, the gift of His only begotten Son. Scripture says, "For God so loved the world." He so loved the world. We cannot describe, as we try to stand and preach the gospel, we cannot describe that word, so, how God loved the world. That He gave His only begotten Son. Think about how God gave His Son. He gave Him to be born in a stable, like animals are born, and to be laid in a manger. He gave Him to walk in this world in a life of hardship, a life of trouble. He gave His Son in such a way that He was betrayed of men, and He was mocked and ridiculed and buffeted and nailed to a cross. He gave His Son in such a way that His Son had to bear separation from Him when He bore the sins of His people in His body upon the tree. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His, when you think about how He gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that word unspeakable, His unspeakable gift. You know, the word actually means indescribable. Words fail us to describe God's gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. How every day we should thank Him. May God help us when we first awake in the morning and we wake from sleep, the first thought to come to our mind, thank You, oh God, for Your unspeakable gift, the gift of Your Son. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. You know, we should be like that leper who returned and fell and glorified the Lord Jesus Christ and thanked Him for healing him. You know, in the story there, the Lord Jesus actually healed 10 lepers, but only one returned. Only one returned and fell before Him and glorified and thanked Him. And the Lord wondered, wasn't there 10? Let us not be the 9. All 10 were healed. The Lord has healed us from a much worse disease than leprosy, believer. He's healed us from our sins, from our offenses against Him. May we glorify Him every day for His unspeakable gift. We're to receive our daily food and our provision with thanksgiving. You know, when we fail, when we sin, we forfeited any right that God should ever give any good blessing to us. It's only of His mercy that we receive anything good from His hand. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We don't deserve that God should give us anything. And He pours out His blessings in this world upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He makes His rain to fall upon both. He makes His sun to shine upon both, so that we are able to have the food and the things and the sustenance that we need in this world. We should be thankful for our provisions that the Lord gives us every day. Our prayers, the Scripture teaches, should be full of thanksgiving. I couldn't help but notice as Brother Streeter was praying, it was about 90% giving thanks. I think that's probably about right, if not more. We should thank the Lord for so many manifold blessings that He's blessed us with. We're told to continue in prayer and to watch in the same with thanksgiving. And one of the things I wanted to mention this morning that I'm thankful for, and I know believers and members of this church that you're thankful for, we should be thankful for a faithful pastor. I'm thankful for our pastor, one who loves us and prays for us and studies God's Word to bring us a message. Not every church has a faithful pastor. And we're thankful, aren't we? Thankful for our pastor. I tell you this every time that I'm asked to preach. I'm especially thankful when I'm asked to preach that we have a pastor. This is a work. It's a work. It's such a responsibility. You know, Kevin sang that hymn, is singing of the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand and speak as an ambassador of Christ, who's given so much for us. What a burden. And we're so unfit. No man of himself is fit to stand in the pulpit and tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a burden. And such a burden to see the church family that go through different troubles and trials and tribulations. I'm thankful for our pastor. And he would want me to say as much as I've said already, but I want to say it publicly. I'm thankful for our pastor, and I know you are as well. Paul summed it up when he exhorted the Ephesians. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pretty much wrapped it up there, didn't he? Giving thanks always for all things, even for the things that we don't feel we can give thanks for. We're exhorted to give thanks. How can we do that? We can only do it in faith. Believing that God is our Father and that He loves us and that He's ordered all things in this world for our good. So earth is a place of continual thanksgiving for the believer, or it should be. It should be. And that's my prayer this morning, that God would make it so for us today. Heaven is a place of thanksgiving. This is our practice round in this world for heaven. For heaven is a place of thanksgiving, and it's a place where everyone who's there, their hearts are always fully and completely thankful. We're told of the great number which no man can number, that they cry out, amen, and blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Heaven is a place of thanksgiving. Notice going on here in verse number 1. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and it's also a good thing to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing to sing praises unto our God as well. You know, I don't know about you, but my experience has been that when I feel cast down, when I feel discouraged, and don't we all get discouraged? I know I do. When my heart is cast down and my soul is cast down, it does me good to sing praises unto the Lord. It does my heart good. It encourages me to sing unto the Lord, to sing back unto Him what He's done for me. You know, we have so many good hymns, don't we? Of course, we have the book of Psalms and all the good hymns here, but all the good hymns that we have to sing. You know, you just think of some of them. It is well with my soul. Lord, my life seems to be falling apart, but thank you. It's well with my soul. You ever felt that way? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That can't help but do the heart good. Believer, when you're cast down, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. Much I need thy tender care. All these hymns, and one of the things that I've noticed over the years, as some of our brothers and sisters in Christ have grown old, and some of them have come to the point where they've suffered from dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever it may be, that they appear to continue to be able to sing praises unto God. Have you ever noticed that? That's such a blessing. The psalmist said, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have any being. And I've seen that. Believers who have spent their life and had the opportunities in life to sing praises unto God, even unto old age, even when our memory's gone, God gives us that grace to be able to continue to sing praises unto Him. Psalmist said, I'll sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. He's dealt bountifully with us. Even when we don't feel that way, it's still true. And we sing, and as we sing, I believe God helps us. He helps our hearts. He helps our souls. He lifts us up from being cast down as we sing. And so I want to pause here, and I want to thank those of you who lead us in singing, for those who play the musical instruments, who sing the specials. You're such a blessing to us. Thank you. Thank you for, I know you do it in service of the Lord, but you know you serve your other brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And we thank you for that today because it's a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord. And you help us in doing so. I notice verse number 2. I want in the time that I have remaining this morning, I want us to spend just a few minutes thinking about one particular blessing that we should be especially thankful for this morning and every day. Verse number 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. By God's grace this morning, I want you and I to show forth God's loving kindness. To spend just a few minutes thinking about God's loving kindness. You know, the Hebrew word that's translated loving kindness here appears in the scripture in the Old Testament 248 times. That's a lot, isn't it? 248 times. It's most often translated mercy, God's mercy. But it's also translated kindness, loving kindness, goodness, kindly, merciful, favor, good, goodliness, and pity. In the NIV translation of the scripture, it's translated steadfast love. We want to show forth this morning. We want to thank our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for His steadfast love towards us. Aren't those all good words? Every one of those, you know, regardless of how it's translated in the scripture, sinners like me, in a state of undone, being unrighteous, being a sinner, all, What I need more than anything else is the steadfast love of God. Whether it's translated mercy or goodness or kindness or... I need all of that, don't you? Need every one of those. We need God's steadfast love desperately. And so let's spend just a few minutes considering four ways that we can be thankful for God's loving kindness. Here's the first one. As we're born into this world, and only God knows your heart this morning and knows where you're at today and what condition that you're at and the condition that I'm in. The preacher doesn't know, only the Lord knows. Many times, unless God shows you, we don't even know, because the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But when we're lost and dead in trespasses and sins, we need the loving kindness of God. We need His loving kindness more than anything else. The Word of God teaches us that God, in eternity, before He ever created anything, when God dwelt alone, God chose a multitude of sinners. He elected a multitude of people that He would save, that He would make conform to the image of His dear Son. We read in Jeremiah 31, God said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see, today, and I wish we could get a hold of this morning. I pray that the Lord will help us get a hold of this truth. That today, if we have a desire to know God, if we have a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have a desire to be accepted of God only and solely based on the Lord Jesus Christ, based on His life of righteousness, and based upon that successful substitutionary death upon the cross where He actually paid in full for all the sins of His people. If today that is your desire, that's your prayer, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust Him as your only Savior, if you today even have that desire, it's because God in loving kindness has drawn you. We give ourselves way too much credit. Give ourselves way too much credit to what we might be able to produce in ourselves. The Lord Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The Lord Jesus Christ, His word is true. He is true. He said, no man can come to me. Are you coming to Him this morning? Are you coming to Him in faith? Coming to God through Him by faith? Then praise God, because God has shown you His loving kindness. Therefore, in loving kindness, He's drawn you. He's drawn you because He loved you with an everlasting love. You see, it's God that must save us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Savior, isn't He? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And part of salvation, the very beginning of the work of God in our hearts, is He draws us to Himself. He gives us a desire to come to Him. Whereas before, we'd like nothing more than to be able to hide from Him. And now we'd like nothing more than to be able to come to Him. We don't produce that in ourselves. That's God in His mercy and loving kindness, not passing us by, but showing mercy upon us, showing loving kindness upon us. You see, it is He who must look upon us in mercy and grace and relieve us and supply every spiritual need that we have. Paul summed it up well when he said, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, even before this world began. You see, the Lord Jesus is the Savior. He is the one who's called us and saved us. and has given us this desire that we have in our heart this morning. And this morning, if you don't have that desire to know Him, call out to Him that He may show you His loving kindness and give you that desire. We move on to the second point here. When we fall into sin and we're convicted of our guilt, and we do, don't we? When we fall into sin and we're convicted of our guilt, we need the loving kindness of God. When King David was convicted for having committed adultery with Bathsheba and then being responsible that her husband would die so that he could cover up his sin, you remember he cried out to God. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." So believers, when we have sinned against God, and we do every day, we can't live any moment of our life without sinning, because sin is not only what we do, it's who we are. What other recourse do we have when we're convicted but to just fall down before the throne of grace and ask God for His mercy and ask Him to show us His loving kindness? Maybe this morning you're cast down because you've fallen into some sin that you're convicted of. Come pleading for mercy. We have boldness to come unto the throne of grace and find mercy to help in the time of need. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of the Father, or sits at the right hand of the Father, and makes intercession for us. Aren't you thankful that the Scripture says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Well, how is that possible? How can God, who's just and holy, be righteous and just to forgive us our sins? Because the Lord Jesus Christ paid for the sins of all His people upon the cross. Sins are paid for. Punishment has already been meted out for our sins. And we come pleading what? The blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, don't let sin keep you away from the throne of grace. That's our natural inclination, isn't it? When we sin and we feel guilty, the last thing that naturally we will do is come and ask for forgiveness. I can't speak for others. No, I don't know anyone's heart but mine. But I know that the only thing that will give me any relief is to come and plead God's mercy and loving kindness. You know, whether or not we think we're being good or not being good, we're not. We always need God's loving kindness. Just sometimes we're more aware than others. We always need His loving kindness. Number three. As we walk through this world on our pilgrimage to heaven, isn't it comforting to know that God's eye is upon them that hope in His mercy? His eye is upon them that hope in His mercy. Same word, that hope in His loving kindness, that hope in His steadfast love. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. What is it that will cause a sinner to come and to hope and to trust and to cast their eternity upon the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the loving kindness of God. What is it that enables us to walk through this world though we have trials and tribulations and to be able to do so with some peace and hope? How is it that we can hide under the wings of our God? It's because of the faith that God's given us in His loving kindness. that He is a merciful God, that He's a kind God. Scripture says, bless the Lord, O my soul. I don't know if I ever preach a message where I don't quote these verses. And you know, some of you got such better memory than me. You'll notice I read my notes a lot because I don't want to misquote the Scripture. As much as I try to memorize the Scripture, I still will misquote it. So I read it because I want to make sure that I get it right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. You know, blessing the Lord is another way of saying thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. The only reason any of us don't live our life unto destruction is the loving kindness of God. He redeemed and redeems our life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, I thought about that. Crowns thee with loving kindness. Every day. Every single day. It's as though God sets the crown of His loving kindness upon us. And tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That's my prayer this morning in preparing this message for us, that God would renew our strength like the eagles. We have some young people here and have some middle-aged people and some older people here. I've already fallen over into the older bucket. I believe if it was divided into at least three buckets. All of us are weak as water. It doesn't matter. Some of you feel so strong. You're young. Bench press 300 pounds. Feel so strong. Yeah, physically, maybe you're strong this morning. But spiritually, all of us are as weak as water. Can't hold anybody's weight, not even our own. But our God is almighty. He's the mighty God, and He can renew our strength. I don't care if we're 99 years old today. He can make us fly like eagles. Spiritually. He satisfies our mouth with good things. Talking about spiritual things. So that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Our Lord Jesus taught us concerning God's care of us, His children, that even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. If God has numbered even the very hairs of our head, don't you think He knows the troubles and trials and heartaches that we're dealing with today? Sure He does. He loves us more than we love ourselves. Here's the last point. Fourthly, we trust our God's loving kindness to keep us all the way until we reach heaven. We trust His loving kindness to keep us all the way. If He didn't carry us across the threshold into heaven, if he took us just to heaven's door and said, okay, go ahead, Jonathan, you take that last step. I know I would fall short. I know I would fall short. But thank God for His loving kindness. He's going to carry us all the way. All the way into heaven. All the way through death. Through Jordan. When we wake up perfect without sin. When we have no possibility of ever even sinning again. He's going to do that for us. On authority of God's Word, first of all, we can trust our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that He's going to guide us in this life. He is going to guide us in this life. He's going to guide us through this life. The psalmist said, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Don't we need our God to show us the way that we should walk every day? Sure we do. And you know what? The scripture tells us about our shepherd, about the good shepherd, about the great shepherd, about the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is going to guide us, that he is guiding us. We're told concerning the Lord Jesus, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He is going to lead us through this life. The longer that I try to walk in this world as a Christian, do I fall and fail so miserably. But the longer we do try to walk as Christians, don't we? We do. God's put that desire in our heart to honor him, and we attempt to do so. But the longer I try, the more I'm convinced that the last statement in that verse applies to every single believer. You know, you think of, it says, he shall gently lead those that are with young. You think, oh yeah, that's for the weak believer. Who is the believer that is not weak? You know, I think the picture there is that the animal, the sheep that has the young with her. How is she going to run? How is she going to protect herself from that enemy that comes against her when she has her baby to look after? Right? It's the most vulnerable. We are all the most vulnerable. Oh, that we could get a hold of that this morning. We are the most vulnerable. We need God's mercy and loving kindness every single moment. We sing that song, I need thee every hour. Oh, that we might truly know that and believe that. We'll live a life of much greater peace and joy in this world if we can ever get a hold of this truth, that we are the weak ones and that he is the strong one. Because when we're weak, then we're strong. When we feel strong, feeling strong comes right before the fall. Because we will be reminded of who we are and what we are apart from the grace of God. Yes, he is going to lead us through this world, and thank God we can trust our God that he's going to keep our souls unto everlasting life. When we grow cold and indifferent spiritually, and don't we all grow cold and indifferent spiritually? I know that I do. When I grow cold and indifferent, I need God's loving kindness. I need him to draw me back unto himself. The psalmist said, quicken me. Make me alive, O God, after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. And isn't his love amazing, his steadfast love, that though we fall and fall and fall and fall, he continues to draw us back. Thank God that his patience and his kindness and his love is not like ours. Don't we have so many reasons to be thankful today? Especially for God's loving kindness. That's what we need, isn't it? May the Lord enable each of us this morning to leave here with thankful hearts. May he enable me to do so. David's going to lead us in a hymn and then have someone dismiss us in prayer. May the Lord bless you.